This morning, I'm going to prove to you that our Bible tells us, that the Torah teaches us four separate times that God created the world. Four times, not just one or two if you were sharp before now, but I'm going to get you up to four. Now, the first one, I suspect we all know, that 7 days that begins by Yior, and the Lord created light. It's emblazoned in our minds. We can imagine second grade pictures of little fish being created, and each day of the week getting a different panel and different artworks. 7 days God created the world, and every week for Shabbat we say, on the seventh day we rested. God rested, so we too rest. It's a nice, beautiful story. And then right after that, the second God finishes resting, we get the story of Adam and Eve, which seems to begin like the first story never happened. The story of Adam and Eve starts with a barren world in which water seems to come up from some kind of well. And then God makes people out of dust, forms them, but just man, just Adam. Then there's a series of mistakes and things that go progressively wrong. Like a baby crying. until Adam and Eve, who then gets created, get kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and we get humanity. Those two stories you probably knew. But then the beginning of this week's Parsha is usually thought of as the story of the destruction of the world, but is actually, as with most destructions, a story of creation as well. Because yes, it's true that humanity was destroyed, but the world was birthed anew. On that ark was all of the materials necessary to build a new world, a world founded on laws. As we heard this morning from our Bat Mitzvah, the Noahide laws. Good job. The written rules that we all have to follow. A new world was born post-flood, in which God said, you can't just be, you have to follow rules. Now, the first three, I can probably convince most of you to agree with me on. The fourth one, I'll admit, is a little bit of a stretch, but I still think it's true. The fourth one's the Tower of Babel. What happens in the Tower of Babel? The people all speak one language, and with their ease of communication, they get together and they build a giant tower for their own glory, to say how wonderful and great people are. And God knocks it down, and spreads everyone throughout the world, each people with a different language. Now that's a very unique kind of punishment or creation. In fact, it's the last time in the Bible that God does something supernatural that lasts forever. God does lots of other miracles. He makes fire appear, God saves the people, the water splits. There's plagues, the earth swallows some bad people. Miracles happen throughout the Bible in which the laws of nature are suspended or changed, but they always go back to the way they were. Here, in this Tower of Babel, the laws of nature are fundamentally changed. Where before we all spoke one language, now it is a fact of creation that we all speak different languages. That it's hard to communicate with each other. The world was fundamentally changed and created into a new world. So, why have four stories of creation? If the Bible is our history, this sounds like bad history. Why would we have four stories about the creation of the world? Shouldn't one story be enough if the Bible is to tell us what happened all those years ago? And you could actually argue that point either way. But for me, the most important answer is that the Torah's job is not to tell us what happened. It does that plenty of times, but that's not its purpose. The Torah's job is not to tell us who we were. The Torah's job, and this is why it lasts generation to generation. This is why we want our kids and their kids and their kids to read it. The Torah's job is to tell us who we are. We read the Torah And we find out about what happened, and we read these epic stories that are foundational to our story as a people. And if we do it right, we learn about ourselves. Someone just hung to me. If we do it right, we learn a little more about who we are today. And if that's the case, then all the more so for a creation story, one certainly isn't enough. Because if I sat down with each one of you, one by one, and said, who are you? You would tell me lots of stories about growing up, of the stories that are foundational to who you are, that created the person standing before me. And the same is true for the world. So I want to take a couple of minutes and figure out what we can learn about who we are from each of these stories. 7 days of creation. It's poetically beautiful. The first 3 days mirror the second 3 days. In the first 3 days, God creates the primordial stuff of the universe. On the first day, when God says, let there be light, God doesn't create the sun. God creates light. The idea of light in the universe. It's not until the fourth day that God forms that light into the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's unbelievable. It's wonderfully written. And at the pinnacle of that creation, at the top, the climax, the apex, is us. In one stroke, God speaks and creates male and female. Equal. Created, that's what we learn, in the image of God. Created to dominate all the world. Created to be the best creation has to offer. And God afterwards says, it's very good. So when we look in the mirror and we wonder who we are, creation story one tells us that we are the image of the creator of all. We are the pinnacle, the top of creation. We embody everything that is good and possible about the universe. Then we get the Adam and Eve story. It's almost as if God flipped the story on purpose. I'll give you a couple of highlights. We're placed in Eden, in perfection, with only one rule. Don't eat from one tree. Everything else, as much as what we can eat. And the only thing we do in the Garden of Eden is eat from the tree. After eating from the tree, this is perhaps my favorite moment in the whole Bible. After eating from the tree, Adam and Eve were like, oh God, we're naked, let's sow some fig leaves and create artwork for generations to come. And then they go and hide in the bushes from God. Now, there's lots of figurative ways to take this, but on a literal basis, this is literally the worst plan ever. To hide from God by going into the bushes. At which point God says, what did you do? And Adam is a perfect example of how not to be a husband. Adam's first line is, Eve made me do it. And then Eve says, the snake made me do it. No one takes responsibility. All we have is mistake after mistake. And on top of that, never once in this story does God say we are created in the image of God. In fact, God makes man first, Adam first, and makes us from dust. We are literally dirt. And then we get kicked out of the Garden of Eden and we're told life's gonna be hard. Creation story two teaches us and reminds us that we are lowly. We are capable of great evil. We are broken inside, and what's more, we are destined to work hard to make this earth give us the things that we need. That it is fundamentally a part of creation. That challah, like hiding under this beautiful challah cover, doesn't grow out of the ground, but wheat does. And we have to figure out a way to mill it and grind it. I don't know what you do with wheat, but whatever you do to make it into challah. It's hard. Creation one, we're the best, the pinnacle, the image of God. Creation two, we are dirt. We are sinners. We are broken. We must work hard. Creation three, I think there the lesson is much more subtle. At the beginning of the flood story, God says to Noah, I'm going to kill the entire world. Everyone you've ever met is going to die because they are evil. Mankind is wicked, so I'm going to wipe out the earth. At the end of the flood story, the waters have receded, the rainbow has appeared, and God says to Noah, I promise you that I will never again wipe out all of the earth because mankind is wicked, because mankind is evil. It's the same answer with opposite response. Before the flood, God says, I'm going to kill everyone because mankind is evil. After the flood, God says, I won't destroy mankind because mankind is wicked. And what we learn from this, God is teaching us something. God is teaching us that if we want to create a world, if we want to build, if we want to be a part of a world filled with law and order, we need to be merciful. What changes? What's the difference? The response to evil first is vengeance and violence. The response to wickedness second is mercy and opportunity and love. I'm not saying that every time we get to live up to this ideal. Many times we have to resort to our physical strength. But God is teaching us if we really want to build a world, if we want to create, if we want to make life happen and team and live justly together, it is mercy. It is compassion. It is understanding that have to guide our way. And the fourth story I struggle with every year, because I understand the change from one language to many languages a little more figuratively. I don't think it was like we all spoke English. I think it was like we all had no problem expressing ourselves. We all could dig deep inside, and the key parts of ourselves that are dying to come out in one form or another jumped out clearly to everyone else. Communication was absolute. And that was bad for mankind. With that kind of absolute communication, mankind forgot about God and tried to live in God and man's own glory. I say in man's own glory because a giant tower was for sure a man's idea. But fundamentally, God makes a core part of existence. Who are we? Is that we have something inside that only we understand, and it is hard to get it out and to share it with others so that they can understand. And even when we do it, there is more inside that we can't get out, that we have to struggle hard. And in that struggle to understand what is the meaningful parts of our insides, our soul, our deepest thoughts, that is where meaning, connection, it is in that struggle that we reach out to God and say, please help. No one understands me. And it is in that struggle that we can build relationship with each other and with the Holy One. In the story of Noah, we always imagine that the rain clouds appear and just start to rain. But the ancients actually understand it a little differently. They looked up at the sky and imagined a kind of reverse snow globe. That the sky was actually a wall, and it was blue because behind the wall were waters, heavenly waters, waters that were extraordinarily powerful and had the power to kill, and God's gift to the world was to build the dome called the sky to hold back those waters. And the flood is when God made that wall disappear and the rains came down. So the next time you're outside looking at our beautiful California sunshine, at that blue sky, put yourself in the shoes of the ancients and imagine the creation of the world. Look up and imagine that you are created to be the best that there is on this earth and in the universe. Look up at the sky and remember just how tiny and insignificant you are. Look up at the sky and remember that mercy and compassion are what give us the strength to create. Look up at the sky and challenge yourself to reach deep and share the parts of yourself that are core to who you are. Shabbat Shalom.